Kingdom Connection is a community for individuals that desire a greater knowledge of the kingdom of God. Our desire is to build up God's people through the power of God by providing them with sound teachings, mentorship, biblical education programs, and sharpening their knowledge and gift in the Word of God.
Let's get in the very presence of the Lord so that the Holy Spirit can fill this broadcast. God, we thank you. We invite you in. Have your way, Holy Spirit. We invite you in tonight so that the people of God in the kingdom of the Lord will begin to feel your very Let's get in the very presence of the Lord so that the Holy Spirit can fill this broadcast. God, we thank you. We invite you in. Have your way, Holy Spirit. We invite you in tonight so that the people of God in the kingdom of the Lord will begin to feel your very presence. Oh God, come Almighty King to this broadcast in Jesus' name. Amen.
All exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, all shook we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. We'll see the lightning bolt and tell them where they should go. The coolness of night, none can fathom.
Hallelujah. At this time, let's give a warm welcome to our host, Prophet Evelyn Dale.
Good evening, Kingdom family. I am your host, Prophet Evelyn Derry, and I would like to thank you for joining me tonight. I am your Kingdom Connection tonight. We're going to begin to come together, and we're going to have an awesome time tonight. We have a wonderful show before us tonight. And on tonight, we're going to continue on in our series, Reflections of Love. And now we are on part six. And we want to thank God for everything that he's done, thanking him tonight for bringing us together in such an awesome occasion. We've been having this series, and really we begin to see so many different things concerning relationships and how we can actually make the right changes to fix the very problems that we may see. And I want to start off by saying tonight that our topic is, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. This is a phrase that so many people use to describe the fact that they were once in love with someone and they fell out of love with them. And so on tonight, we're going to really take a great look at that, and we're going to begin to discover, where do we go from here? Sometimes you just don't know where to pick up the pieces and how to keep it moving. And so now we're going to begin to take a good look at that tonight. You're just in for a treat tonight. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be dynamic tonight. Amen. Now, I'm going to read a quote from Prince Charming, and it reads, true love isn't, but it is, it must be fought for, because when you find it, it can never be replaced. All right. True love isn't easy, rather, but it must be fought for, because once you find it, it could never be replaced. That true love that you find, it can never be replaced. Once you find someone and they come into your life and it's this true love that's soulmate love, one thing you want to know about that is that it cannot be replaced. This is something that you'll be able to see along the way. All right? And another thing I wanted to talk about, just some of the things that you may have when you really are truly in love. And one thing is, you might see that glow in the person's eyes to make you realize that this person is on your side. One thing today, as I was preparing, I always get inspired by different things. God began to tell me about the situation with Romeo and Juliet. Romeo began to really describe some wonderful things concerning Juliet as he began to look at her. But a lot of times his love was questioned because, number one, he started off loving someone else. And instantly when he looked at, there was something in Juliet's eyes that drew him to her. And as he began to really look at her, he desired her in such a way that he went after her, even in the midst of the family not wanting them to be together. These were two families that were against one another. And so this, you know, this was one of those family feuds that had been going on for quite some time. And so even them being together was a risk. Well, there were some things that took place in Romeo. Actually, he murdered someone, and because he murdered them, they actually had him to leave the actual town. And as this happened, Juliet began to really, she just got just depressed and down because her love was gone, and now she didn't know what to do. And her family was trying to force her to marry someone. So on that day that she was supposed to get married, she plotted and schemed, and she faked her death, but she did not get a chance to tell Romeo as to what happened. So here's a big tragedy that happened. Romeo never got the message that there was a plot, that she was faking her death. And so she actually took some poison that made her look like she was dead, but she really wasn't dead. And then when she woke up, she found that Romeo had taken the potion, and he had actually died. So when she woke up and she saw it, she stabbed herself, and then her family found her and Romeo, and both of them were dead. And some people would say that this was a love story, which means that true love, you know, you wind up with each other and all of this kind of stuff. But it was a tragedy because they had some communication flaws, and they were not able to really come together and know what actually the plot was or the plan. So there was a conflict there. So we're going to talk about a few of those things, but I just wanted to bring that up basically because sometimes you can find somebody that's true love, that you really love, but you lack communications and some other things happen along the way. Now, every time you're with someone and they make you feel like time is standing still, well, you know what? That person has your heart. You have their heart, and guess what? You're not worrying about time because it seems like time is going so fast because you're together and you enjoy yourself. There are some other things that come onto your heart, into your heart, rather, and it makes you feel good about being around this person. My thing is tonight, what happened to that love? Now, let's talk about this for a moment. Love is a feeling of affection. This affection can be given to you. It could be an attachment to someone. It could be love that you give from your family, your children, your friends, your spouse, and others. So if you're just in love with someone, there's just an attachment, like a commitment, an affection. But when you're in love with someone means that you're passionate for them, you have a desire to spend the rest of your life with them, you just desire to be around them, you long for them, you want to be intimate with them, you want to share your innermost secrets and everything. So that's what it is when you're saying that you're in love with someone. Here's the problem. The problem happens is your relationship is now shaky. But neither one of you wants to be the first to say goodbye because there have been some years that you have stood by each other. And so there's something that's saying, you know what, I just don't want to be the first one to say goodbye. But listen, things fell, I hear people all the time say, this marriage fell apart a long time ago. This relationship fell apart a long time ago. Because that love that I once saw, that love that showed me, you know what, you care about me, you love me, that thing left a long time ago. It went out of the window a long, long time ago. And so, but there's still something that you're saying, well, guess what, neither one of us just wants to be the first to say goodbye. Thing is, you're not sure if you're going to make it because of the trials and tribulations that have come into your life. The next thing that happens is you're smiling on the outside. You're putting on a big show for everybody. Everybody thinking this marriage, this relationship is wonderful. It's something that could be patterned behind. But yet inside, your heart is broken. You have so many things and so many thoughts that's going on in your head, and you're just saying, you know what? I just want to end it all. I want to quit. I want to throw in the towel. This is not worth it. And you know, but guess what? To everybody else, it looks like everything is okay. Another thing is, you don't want to leave because your whole life is tied into each other. You know what? You don't want to leave because you have the bills together, you are sharing responsibilities with one another, and you feel like it's going to be hard if you leave. So you know what? That is more or less just out of commitment. You're there out of commitment, not out of compassion, not out of love. You're there only for that reason. You're not there because you love each other anymore. You're there to make sure that the ends get met. Amen? Another thing is you're there because, guess what? If I leave, then the children are going to have problems. Sometimes there could be children in a relationship, and you're thinking, I'm just going to stay there for the sake of the children. I'm just going to stay there for the sake of everybody else. But you need to understand that there's something inside of you that needs to be fulfilled as well. Another thing is that the relationship that you're trying to build with one another has been gone a long time. Listen, love don't live there anymore. Come on. And you're just trying to hang in there because you don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but this thing is weighing you down. You're no longer feeling like you need to be in that relationship. Another thing, you're feeling like, let me stay in it because I've invested time in this relationship. All of the years, all of the tears, you know what? Surely I don't want to let somebody else come and benefit from all of the years that I've poured into this relationship. Your heart is pounding because guess what? Every time you think about being apart, you think about all of the things that you built together. And that is the big issue. The big problem is all of the things that you built together. I often ask myself, how could a person be with someone for 20 years and then decide they want to split? I can tell you the answer answer to that right off the bat. The problem been there. They've been going through the motions, but they try to overlook it. You have to understand that if you're in a relationship, you cannot just go through the motions. You have to decide that you are going to work on this relationship from day one. You need to be working on it. And if you see that there's some problems, if you see that there's some issues, they need to be worked out, because if not, you're going to waste so many years. You're going to waste all of those tears. You're going to waste all of those commitments because you're in a relationship that's just not working, okay? What are the effects of the problem? How did I lose the love that I had been searching my whole life to find? What made your feelings for each other change? Where is the real love that you once shared with one another? As I said a few moments ago, the love is no longer there. The love is gone. What do you do after the love is gone? These are some questions that people ask, because there's a problem here, and now the problem needs to be solved. And so tonight I want to say this. What are the reasons why people tend to fall out of love? Number one, let's do this right here, all right? Number one is their mate is too needy and requires too much maintenance to keep the relationship flowing. There are some people, they need so much stuff. They need to be rubbed every 2 seconds. They need to be cuddled every 2 seconds. You can't get your work done. You can't go to your job because they're calling you on your job every 2 seconds. It's just too much. It's too much attention needed. Come on, somebody needs to begin to say, I don't need a car that I got to keep fixing every day. The relationship is having problems. We're having issues every single day. And one of the reasons why we're having these issues is because we have not begun to look at it from the beginning. From day one, there were some telltale signs that this was going to be a relationship that was going to require too much of your time. There was telltale signs from the beginning that this relationship was going to need too much maintenance. My goodness. Number two, the mate no longer feels like they're special. Listen, let me tell you something. Every mate, every man, every woman desires to feel like they are that special one in somebody's life. And when they begin to feel that they don't have that, they begin to lose interest. They begin to fall apart. You know, they say, you know what, I don't feel like I'm admired. I don't feel like I'm loved. They're, you know what, if you're not giving your mate that extra push that they need, they will begin to go and seek it other places. And this is one of the reasons why we see that there's somebody that comes up on the scene on the job, and they begin to talk to them like you never talk to them anymore. They begin to admire everything that they do. They begin to tell them what a great job they're doing. They begin to say all of these wonderful things. My goodness. Number three is the spouse or mate is complaining and nagging all the time. You know what? Some people say, I don't even want to go home anymore, because when I go home, there's going to be too much complaining about the things that I'm not doing. They're going to nag me about keeping, you know, the toothpaste top off of the toothpaste, just little petty stuff that they keep saying over and over that you're not doing, never giving you credit for the things that you're doing. So this is some of the reasons why people tend to fall out of love. And I said this earlier, I love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore. This is the reason why. If you have a nagging, complaining spouse, that makes you irritable and you not want to go home. That makes you say, you know what, I'm going to stay out a little bit longer. I'm going to take longer walks, hallelujah, in the park before I come home, because I know when I come home, I have to face the music, in other words. I have to face the complaining. And then that, not only are they complaining about that, but they're complaining about what people done them on the job. You know what, your mate don't want to sit down in the evening hearing about how bad your day was. Every single day somebody did you wrong. Every single day you have a problem. Come on. They don't have time to hear all of that. All right. Number four, these are reasons why people fall out of love. They're always talking shop, always talking business, always talking church, never leaving the conversation open anymore concerning a relationship, never talking about love, never talking about this particular relationship. And anytime you ask about anything, you know what? They're always saying, well, this is what's going on with my business, and this is what's going on my job. have to have that balance, because if there's no balance and you're always talking about church and you're always talking about your job and your business, then guess what? Your mate is missing those conversations that you used to have. At one point, you used to say, how was your day, baby? How is everything going? Are you okay? Are you feeling okay? They're not hearing those conversations. Instead, they're hearing everything else but about the relationship and about the love. All right, now, number five. The mate is made to feel like a child. This is another reason why people feel out of love. Because, number one, if you're always talking to your mate as if they're your child, and this happens a lot when we have husbands and wives or people in relationship who have children, they have not learned how to talk to the spouse and learn the spouse language. I would say, you know what, I'm going to learn how to talk to my mate and not make my mate feel like they're a baby, not make my mate feel like they're a child, not make my mate feel like they're just somebody on the street. But you know what, they need to know that they are loved and appreciated. And so there needs to be some lover's desire, you know, you desire to be that, you know, to be that lover to your mate and making them feel like they're the best thing walking. Listen, I hear some people call their wife Wonder Woman, and they might call their husband Superman. Guess what? They need to feel like, you know what, they're Superman or Superwoman and not feel like Clark Kent, come on, or that one that just out there. So you know what, as you begin to build your mate up, they will feel special. They will feel like they're somebody, and they feel like it's worth it. All right. Number six, the relationship is built on a lie from the very start. One of the things that you want to do when you get into a relationship, you want to make sure that you are telling the truth up front in the beginning. Don't hide nothing. Don't hold nothing. You know, those times when you're getting to know one another, you know what? The husband do need to know, or the wife really do need to know if you have another child. They need to know that up front. Come on, there's some things that you do not need to keep out of the conversation. If you had some things in your past that can actually come up again, then you need to make sure, guess what? They need to know that you used to be in a strip club, you used to strip, whatever it is, they need to know that in advance and not find out because somebody walks up to you and say, hey, and calling you by your stage name. So they need to know all of those things so that they can make the right decision whether or not they want to get into the relationship with you, even though you have a past. Everybody has a past, but if the past is dealt with from the beginning, that problem will not continue to go on, and it will not continue to exist all throughout the whole relationship. So if you start your relationship on a lie, it can really hinder your relationship and cause your relationship to fail and cause you to lose all hope, come on, for that relationship. Number seven, there is a loss of desire. Wow. There are a lot of people who are in relationships, they no longer desire their mate. And guess what? Some people only think that it's weight gain. But guess what? Some people like a thick person. They like a thick woman. So when you start losing weight because you're desiring to lose weight, it's some things that you have to ask in the beginning of the relationship. You have to be real with one another. You have to ask them, do you like me thick? Do you like me thin? If I gain a little weight, would you still like me? You got to go down the list and begin to take inventory to see what it is that they like. Because if you are going to be in this relationship, you need to make sure that you bring in what they like. Come on, you don't need to be bringing what they don't like around. So this is the thing. If you could be upfront in the beginning, and another thing, you know what you said, well, how do you like certain things? Let them know how you like it. What are the desires? What is it that you desire for me to have in this relationship? Guess what? They need to know that, guess what? If you cheat, that's the end of it. You need to know from the beginning, you need to be upfront and personal and let that person know that, guess what? I am going to be, it's going to be the end of the road if you cheat. It's going to be the end of the road if I find out something from your past. So there's a loss of desire. I said this before. These are the reasons why people tend to fall out of love with one another. So the love is left, the love is gone. This is the conversation that we're having right now. Number eight, there is a consistent negative conversation going on in the relationship, always telling your mate that what they're doing wrong and never telling them what they're doing right. You did this wrong. You did that wrong. And every day they're having these conversations and they're hearing the things that they're doing wrong, but you never taking ownership to your own stuff. This is what I can't understand. You know what? We have to understand that sometimes we make mistakes as well. It's not always our mate. So you have to get that up out. Let's get that out there now. You're not Mr. or Mrs. Perfect, so you're going to make some mistakes. And some of the conversations that you have, you need to begin to build your mate up and let them know that I appreciate these things that you've done. You're doing a great job. Continue to do a great job. If they're getting ready to do something, you'll be that supporting person instead of always complaining about them, always complaining to other people and telling other people about the situation. My goodness, your marriage is not for you to begin to talk against your mate, or your relationship is not for you to talk against your mate, but it's to build them up. Number nine, way down due to financial. This is how people fall out of love. You're probably saying, how could I be way down by a financial situation and then I fall out of love? Because guess what? If you are not going to work and you're sitting on the sofa all day while I get up and go to work, that's an issue for some people. So we have to begin to look at that. What is it that's causing this financial issue? What is it that's causing you to fall out of love with your mate? First of all, sometimes those financial issues come because of a mate being a compulsive spender, a compulsive liar, a compulsive gambler. These issues are coming because, number one, it's being brought upon them because of their reckless lifestyle. And so this is not something that just happened. You know, if you just happen to get, unemployed because they laid people off, we're not talking about that. We're talking about people who are being lazy, who are sitting around doing nothing. And then they are coming and wanting to be lovey-dovey. People don't want to have time, you know, to really be intimate with you when they have all of this on their head and you're not doing right by them. Number 10, here it is. Y'all ready for number 10? Here it goes. They feel that the family comes before them. Your mate should never feel like your mother, your daddy, anybody in your family line come before them. Because if so, they're going to feel like it's not even worth it to be in this relationship. But guess what? There's hope. If you want to bring your marriage back together, you have to begin to make some necessary changes for you to come back down love lane. And I know what some of you are saying, love don't live here anymore. You know what? There was a song that used to say, looks like another little TKO. Come on. Some of y'all got some volcano eruptions going on. And guess what? It's not really no good thing. So you have to be careful of all of those things that you're letting come into your relationship and making sure that you have a healthy relationship, that your relationship is built on love and not infatuation. We're going to get into that in a couple of weeks. Is it really love or is it infatuation? We're going to get into that because you need to begin to really look at your relationship and find out if your relationship is what? Is it love or is it infatuation? We're going to talk about that in a few weeks. Now, here's some ways for you to get back in the groove of things, because we talked about the love then left the building, so we got to get the love back in the building. If you're really going to wait and work on your relationship, this can really work for you. So we're going to talk for a moment about marriage communication basics, amen? Marriage communication basics. Number one is to talk to your mate and not yell at your mate. Oh, my goodness. Come on. We can understand this, that when you're with your mate, the first thing you want to do is yell. You want to have a yelling and a shouting match, and none of y'all can hear each other because the other one is trying to outweigh the other one. The other one is trying to make sure they get their voice heard. So when you're talking to your mate, you want to talk to your mate in a tone in which they could receive things. And I'm guilty of that in the past. I always had to yell. It's like it was just in me. I had to yell. I'm like, you're going to listen to me right now. But, you know, you have to understand, talk to your mate and don't yell at your mate. Don't have this thing going on where you're constantly yelling at your mate and you're not listening, okay? Number two, respect each other's voice and opinion. Now, you have to understand this, that if your mate is saying something to you, they should have the right to voice their own opinion. They should have the right to say what needs to be said, okay? So make sure that you are actually allowing your mate to have an opinion, because if not, you're going to have a problem and you're not going to be able to make it through these situations. Amen? Can everybody hear me? Amen. All right. I'm just making sure everybody can hear me. All right. The next thing is that number three, understand that you will not agree on everything. Okay. So, you know, this is the biggest thing. You have your way and I have my way, but we have to understand that we're not going to agree on everything. So just because you're in a relationship, just know this, that you're not going to agree on everything. Let's make that clear right now. All right? Number four, do not say something in the heat of an argument that you will regret. Listen, you can't take words back once you've spoken them. Listen, if you tell somebody I love you, but I'm not in love with you, that's going to play in their head over and over and over again for the rest of their life, and they're going to have to really deal with that. They're going to be like, my God, what are you saying? Because number one, if you're saying that you love them and you're not in love with them anymore, you're saying that you have fallen out of love with that mate. And that is a big statement that needs to be dealt with, because where do we go from here? How do we move on from here? How can we make it from here if you're saying that you don't love me anymore? Oh, my goodness. My. So here it is. Also, number four is don't say something. I think I did number four already. Yes, I did. Number four is don't say something in the heat of an argument you will regret. Number five is silence should not be used as a tool against your mate. Now, it's okay to be silent sometimes, because when you're angry, that's a good place to be, you know, to be silent and to get yourself back on track. But just to be silent to try to get back at your mate, that can damage your relationship and cause you not to have a relationship anymore. And so you want to make sure that you're not using your silence against your mate. Okay? A good example of that is that you got into an argument 5 days ago. Now, that shouldn't be. Come on. You got in an argument 5 days ago, but you're still doing what? You're still focusing on it, and you're silent. You're saying, you know what, I don't have no words for you. I can't say nothing to you. Wait a minute, but we're in a relationship, though. So you can't go on 5 days and not be talking to me, and we're in this relationship. Listen, we are committed. We said we're going to be in this for the long haul. We said that we're going to be in this thing. Hallelujah. If you have taken marriage vows, you said forsaking all others and sickness and health, to death do us part. You made some commitments there. That's some commitment statements right there. And so when you're in a relationship, you want to make sure that you are not, guess what, that you are not allowing yourself to get to the point where you're so silent that your mate is left out there all by themselves. And your silence is causing them to feel like, you know, I'm worthless, I'm nothing. And you don't ever want your mate to feel like that. You want them to feel like that. I talked about that earlier. You want them to feel like they are that Superman, come on, Superwoman, whatever y'all call each other, you know. You want to make sure that they feel like they're that mighty warrior, that strength, that comfort, because if not, things are going to begin to fall apart, all right? Number six is talk to your mate about your needs and dislikes, not your friends and your family members.
Amen.
Got a little quiet right there. You know, I heard an amen over there from Sister Candy, you know, because a lot of times the biggest things is you want to go and tell your family members and your friends about your mate and what you dislike or what you like or what you dislike. Now, when you tell them what you dislike, they might be looking up at your mate upside their head crazy when they walk in the door because you shared some things that you should not have shared. You have to learn to work through your own issues and not allow other people to come in to interfere with your relationship. Also, if you begin to tell some people all the things you like about your mate and they start saying, man, that looks desirable for me, and they start trying to come after your mate and they start trying to make advances because you had already told them what works and what don't work and everything about your relationship. So there's some things that are in your relationship that you and your mate share that nobody else should know, that nobody else should be able to have a part of, that nobody else should be able to be a part of it at all. And my goodness, they shouldn't know what's going on with you in that type of capacity. All right? Number seven, be prepared to hear some things in your conversation that you don't like. So when you're having a conversation with your mate and they're being open and honest with you, some of the things you're not going to like, but you have to be willing to be open to make the necessary changes to get your relationship back where it needs to be. What most of the time when we say, just be honest with me, tell me the truth. And when they tell you the truth, you say, you know what, I don't want to talk no more. Don't shut off the conversation because the information that's being given to you is not favorable to you. I know sometimes I'm guilty of that myself, but I always pray and say, Lord, let me be open to hear what my mate is saying and not close him off when he's actually trying to tell me something that needs to change to make the relationship go where it needs to go. Oh, man, it's getting a little quiet here. All right. Number 8, keep your focus during the conversation. Don't check your text messages, your phone, your computer, or other devices during the time you're having a conversation with your mate. Now, we're in an age of technology. Everybody is, you know, trying to look at technology. People get up in the morning before they brush their teeth. They got to look at their Instagram. They've got to look at the Facebook, the Twitter, see what's going on in the world of Facebook, which is really an imaginary world in some aspects because everything that you see on there is not real. But you have some things that are real, but you have to go and check all of this stuff, and you don't give your mate the time of day because you're so busy worrying about those text messages, those emails, and all of these other things that you're putting before them. So when you're having a conversation with your mate, be fully there. Be fully there. I'm going to say that again. Be fully there. Listen to what your mate is saying. All right, number 9, make sure you are in a place to talk that no children, family members, or friends can hear you. Oh, man. Most of the time when people get ready to have conversations, they don't care where they're having the conversations at. Your children may not be able to handle seeing you and your spouse upset. Your children may not be able to handle hearing arguments, so you should not be having those conversations that will lead up to arguments or those conversations that you know may not be favorable. Then you need to ask everybody to leave, including family members and friends. The reason why I say this, some of your friends will not be able to see you and your mate at eyes. They can't handle it. They can't handle seeing you in that capacity. So you need to make sure that you clear the room so that you and your mate can have a one-on-one conversation that will bring you to the place that you need to be. And I've seen it so many times that we have people who are trying their best to have conversations with other people so they can get feedback. Listen, you don't need no feedback from your friends and your family members when you're actually going forward with the things that you're discussing with your mate. You don't need to know their opinion. Their opinion don't matter because they're not in that relationship with you. The only two people that matter in a relationship is you and your spouse. So make sure that you're in a quiet place where you can have that intimate conversation with your mate where nobody else can hear the conversation that's going on. And that goes back to the other thing that I said in number 6. If your family member really hears some of these things, they might look at your mate differently, and they might dislike your mate because of the things that you're allowing them to hear during those conversations. And number 10, and the last one, and then we're going to begin to hear from you. If you're on the line right now, you can go ahead and press 1 to speak to the host after our commercial break. We're going to come back, and we're going to hear from you tonight. So if you're on the line right now, go ahead and press 1 to speak to the host. And we'll be taking those questions, comments, and in a few moments after the commercial. Now, number 10, look at your mate when you're talking to them. I heard those sighs and all of that kind of stuff. It is impolite for you to look around up in the sky, looking like some birds flying around, looking up in the sky saying, just hurry up and say what you got to say. And it's impolite for you not to look at them when you're having a conversation. Most of the time when people will not look at me when I'm having a conversation, I'm thinking that they're not telling the truth. You need to be able to look your mate in the eye and have a conversation. No matter how you're feeling, you need to be able to do that. And you need to pay attention to your environment and pay attention to what's going on around you. Because one thing about it is you're in this conversation with each other and you're trying to rebuild that love that we talked about. The love went out the window. So if you are looking out the window and you're acting like you don't want to work on it, then somebody going to have to say goodbye. We said in the beginning that neither one of us want to say goodbye, but somebody going to have to say goodbye if we don't work on this situation. So one thing that I want to tell you tonight, as you really begin to work on these things, I've given you 10 things that cause problems, and I've given you 10 things that are valuable tools of communication, tools that you can use throughout your conversations with your mate to try to rebuild and rekindle. And I know over the weeks we have been talking about several different things, and some of the things that we talked about, a lot of people don't want to talk about it. But a lot of times if you're having a communication issue that's going on, you will not have the intimacy part. There's not going to be any lovemaking. There's not going to be any passion because, number one, you don't have an open line of communication. You don't have that passion for your mate to be able to really fully be in there. You know what? I'm going to tell you this. Anybody can have sex. Anybody can have sex. You have the dogs around here making sex, but it takes a lot to actually make love to someone because you have to put your emotions, you have to put everything in you for that passion to come forth. And we've already talked about what happens when that passion goes out and some of the things that we can do to bring that passion back into the relationship. Well, I've been talking for a while now. I pray that you've been blessed. Remember, go ahead and press 1. To speak to the host, and then we're going to be back in a few moments to actually take care of your question. God bless you.
To sow into this great work, you can go to www.impactfireministries.com or mail in your donation to P.O. Box 6323, Bossier City, Louisiana, 71112. Call us at 318-562-3500 for more information.
Thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Connections with Prophet Evelyn Derry, where you're being empowered to prosper. We want you to know that you can always go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Evelyn Derry Ministries to listen to today's show or any of our previous shows. Remember to like and follow Evelyn Derry Ministries on Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, and YouTube.
God bless you. God bless you. We are back. I'm your host, Prophet Evelyn Derry, and we've been having a conversation concerning relationships. I pray that you've been blessed so far. We do have some people who have already pressed 1 to speak to the host. If you're here, press 1 to speak to the host. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And now we're going to take our first caller. God bless you.
Caller ending in 7-9, you are now on
live
with the host.
Good evening, woman of God. I have two questions. My first question is, how do you tell your mate that with the lack of emotion from, it said, hard for you and unpleasurable for you to enjoy sex? And the second question is if your mate has been lying to you and you're telling your mate, you know, tell me the truth and hurt me, then to kill me with a lie, but then your mate tells you the truth and it's something that you really kind of felt and already knew, but you're telling your mate, okay, you know what, this is what you said to me, this is how I feel, now can you give me a minute to let me process it and get over it? Is that out of line?
Let's deal with the first question first, and I guess you were saying that, are you saying that the intercourse is painful to where you can't stand it, or are you saying that the sexual intercourse and the intimacy is not favorable. Because that's, in order for me to actually answer that question right, I need to be able to know which one it is.
It's not favorable. I mean, it's like somebody just don't need counseling.
I believe that is something that a lot of, and I'm glad you asked that question, because I know that there are some people out here right now that are listening in that may actually be going through the same thing. When you first get into a relationship, and even when you get into a marriage, you're going to have to, you know, and I know you probably have already gone down this thing where you're trying to tell your mate, this is what I like, this is what I don't like, and you're trying to get them to see and envision the way you want to be treated. And one of those things that happens is sometimes when we actually are with someone else before someone else, we could actually be wanting them to actually perform the way the other person performed, but they cannot perform the way the other person performed because they're not that person. And so the first thing, that is a difficult question, so you just got to come out with it. Even though there may be some emotions that come with it, you may be able to tell them that, hey, you know, things are not the way it used to be. Sometimes there are issues that go on in a relationship, and I know this is not one that people like to talk about, but there are actual times we talked about when someone may be ill. So if a person is suffering with sugar diabetes and different things like that, it can cause them not to actually get an erection. So, it, you know, like I said, tonight we're talking relationships, so we're going to be real tonight. All right. So if there's an erection problem, it could come from different things. And so I've heard people say, you know, there was erection difficulty and there was no, the firmness wasn't there anymore, and you want to find out how could you help them. Well, if you're having that kind of issue, then both of you need to go to the doctor together and, you know, maybe talk to the
not
doctor.
That kind of issue.
Okay, that's
it's
what I'm
like
saying.
There's
but,
that emotional disconnect.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I mean, yes. I'm using that. We're not saying that is your actual thing, but I did want to, if somebody else is listening, I did want to let them know that they also need to deal with that issue. Because if it's there. Now, if there's a loss of disconnection, and in the previous broadcast, I talked about having a rhythm to love, okay? And so if your rhythm is off, that could mean a lot of things. It could mean, number one, that the person is falling out of that passionate love that they once had. Number two, there could be that somebody else has come in and it caused the rhythm to be off. So If somebody else is coming to the relationship in any kind of way, it can alter the way they handle you as well. So like we talked about, asking those questions, and you know that they're lying about different situations, then you have to learn how to deal with that as well. So one thing that and I say, if somebody is lying to you and you find out that they're lying and you know the truth, then it's going to be your decision on how you handle that particular situation. So it's not a one-size-fit-all in that particular situation, because if, let's just say, what is that they're actually lying to you about? Are they lying to you about another person? Are they lying to you about their sexual desires? So it goes a long way. That's a lot of different things that plays into that portion of the situation. And just getting back to your question, you do need to make sure that you're open. The first question, you need to make sure that you're open and let them know what is it that has not been perfected, or what is it that is not to your liking, so they can try to make the changes. But if you're trying to compare it to somebody else, then they never probably will be able to achieve that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. And the second question, if you feel like the person is lying to you, and you find out the facts, then you need to make the knowledgeable decision whether or not you want to continue on in that particular relationship. Because if it's built on distrust, you know, only you two can work it out. Remember in the beginning, I don't know if you were on here when I talked about, it's almost like neither one of us wants to be the first to say goodbye, but we know that there's some issues and we have not worked through it. So you basically may need to get a counselor to come into your relationship and help you to ask those difficult questions if you feel like you don't want to ask it. I heard some people say, and this is a true statement, I choose which battles I want to fight in my relationship. So, which means that if it's going to make matters worse, then I'm not going to ask that question. But then you're walking around and you're harping it in your heart, and then you're getting bitter concerning the matter. So instead of getting bitter, you do need to talk about that. So certain little nitpicking things like that, you don't have to bring those up. But I think that's a very, very good question that you have, and you need to bring that to your spouse and talk to them about it. I don't think that that's, you know, petty. That's real major. You know what I'm saying? That's concerning your relationship. All right.
So is it okay that, you know, if they are lying to you and then they tell you the truth, that you tell them to give you a minute so that you can process it and deal with it, and so that, you know, you can come back and revisit it at another time?
I think that's fair, so that you don't say the wrong thing. I think that's very fair. Because when I talked about not being silent about it, but you can say, listen, could you give me a moment? And this shouldn't take 3 and 4 weeks, and it shouldn't take, you know, I know some things are hard, but you don't want to wait too far where you buried it and then you bring it back and it's a catastrophe because it's a big explosion of something that could have been happening, you know, just many, many days ago. So you don't want to hold it that long. But let's just say, you know, your mate is telling you something, and you need a day or so to process it, or maybe 2 days, or you might need the weekend to process it, and then you come back and talk about it. Because, you know,
I said 10 minutes. Can I at least get 10 minutes to think about it and process it?
I know, right? Yeah, 10 minutes would be great, huh? Yeah. Well, you have a great thing that you've asked, so I think that it's very fair, that statement that you asked, you know, give me some time to process it, and they should be able to give you that time. All right. Well, thank you so much calling in and being brave and going through this. I want to thank you so much for calling in, and make sure you're tuning in. I hope you've enjoyed the broadcast. All right, we have a little part.
We have some emails. We have Stacy from New York, and Stacy just wanted to say that it is so true that when you're in a interracial relationship that you be honest with your mate so you won't have anything to hide or come up once you are falling out in your marriage.
Yes, my goodness. Let me tell you this. One of the biggest things, Stacy, that I've learned is that when that stuff comes back up later, It could tear your relationship apart. You know, if it's something that's been from way back in a relationship and then, you know, it comes out maybe 5 or 10 years later, that can destroy your relationship. It could be a deal breaker for your relationship. It can actually end your relationship from you not being open and honest from the beginning. And so one of the things that I truly recommend is that when you get into a relationship that you actually make the commitment to talk about things from your past. For instance, if a woman has been molested or raped when they were little and they don't tell their mate, it may be something that is a trigger that if their mate touched them in the wrong way, that thing can come out and have them react in a certain way. And so if you have been raped and molested, a lot of people say, I'll take it to my grave, but you have to understand that your mate is going to have to also deal with that. So they're going to have to deal with the fact that if they touch you or rub you the wrong way and you're going off, and that's just not for women, because some men actually hide the fact that they have been molested or raped in their childhood, and what happens is it is constantly an everyday battle. They're dealing with their sexuality. They're having problems with flashbacks, and then sometimes it makes them feel less than a man because they had to go through that when they were in a childhood, and sometimes they don't want to tell their spouse because they don't want their spouse to think that they are bisexual or gay. And so they keep that to themselves. You know, men tend to keep it to themselves a lot, and a lot of women also keep it to themselves. So just getting all of that out in the open and making sure you tell those things Because some people would say, you know what, if I would have known that you had five kids, then, you know, I would have never married you. You know, somebody else may say, well, if I would have known that in the past you had an STD, I wouldn't have married you. So it's better to get those things out beforehand than to spend all those years in a relationship with somebody to say, I want out. Those are, you know, those are some big words, but a lot of people say, listen, I just want out of this relationship. I can't go on with this relationship. I have to keep it moving. So make sure you're dealing with those tough questions, those tough issues, those tough topics early on in the relationship so you don't have them coming down the line. All right? Do we have any other callers with you?
We have Daniel from New Orleans. And Daniel from New Orleans said that he understands and he has been through the I love you but I'm not in love with you conversation. It hurts, but with a lot of prayer and fasting, he got through it.
Oh, yeah. That's, you know, I don't really say a lot of stuff that I never went through. So when I'm actually going through the different chapters and different things that I've been talking to you about, is basically different phases of my life that I actually made that statement. I've had people to make that statement, you know, I love you, but I'm not in love with you. Because there were times in my relationships that I fell out of love because I felt like I wasn't being treated properly. I felt like I wasn't getting the love that I wanted. There were some things that came up that I didn't know about. So some of these things that I'm telling you, I've actually been through it myself. And so it's not an easy situation to be in when you're seeing all of these things come before you and you're wondering how do you react or do I react or am I being proactive to know, guess what, I need to know that this happened beforehand so that it won't explode in my life and then I have an issue from it from there. And a lot of times when we talk about relationship issues, people try to run away from it if they're having the problems. But it's so much better when you begin to listen and you can learn from others. Like you said, you're fasting and praying, and I had to fast and pray, and I had to get connected with God in order to make it through my actual situation. So everybody has a different way that they deal with things, and you need to make sure that you're dealing with it in the proper manner. All right? Anyone else?
We have a lot of emails for me to go through tonight.
So everybody's emailing tonight. Well, that's awesome. Well, I want to thank God. If you have not done so, make sure you send us an email. Let us know you enjoyed the broadcast. And we thank God that for those who called in tonight, you know that God is truly blessing us to have people to call in and talk to us about the issues. And we just thank God for just allowing us to go over this tough issue, this tough topic, that a lot of people don't want to face. And we're talking about relationships tonight. All right. So how have you been blessed, Sister Candy? Been blessed tonight?
I've truly been blessed. I know one thing. Well, I tell you, I tell everybody that I know that is about to get mad, be open, be honest, and what you said and what also the young man said, I mean the young lady said, tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell the truth. Whatever it may be, just tell the truth because you don't want to get down the line, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years in your marriage and your husband or wife divorce you based on something that you could have told them in the beginning.
Yes.
That they probably would have forgotten about. You know, forget. Then like, well, that's not too big.
Mm-hmm.
We can deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
But for it to show up 10 years later,
I know that's
my
right.
God, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know about that one. So I just, you know, my policy is always be 100 with your mate.
Yeah.
Always be real. And sometimes it will hurt that feeling, sometimes it hurts that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't be honest, I feel like you harbor it in your heart. You keep it in your heart. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's how you end up saying stuff that you can't take back.
Mm-hmm.
Because it affects so much. Then it's just like, you just wait on them to say something so you can just breathe and get it off your chest.
Yes.
And I mean, that's how a lot of hurtful things come into play. But I was blessed on tonight. I'm enjoying these reflections of love.
Yes, we have several more coming up, and we want to make sure that you get them all. Go ahead and read off the ones we have coming up in the next couple of weeks. And also, you guys can follow us on Periscope. Some of you were on Periscope today, and you're actually on the broadcast with us. If you're not following us on Periscope, follow us on Periscope because we do a prayer. So at 11 o'clock p.m. tonight, we're going to be praying, going before the Lord, bombarding heaven, and we're expecting miracle signs and wonders and the Holy Spirit to meet us here. And also, I just want to thank God for just everything that he's doing tonight in the relationship series because it has also blessed me. I've had to go and dig down deep to get some of this stuff, but I want to thank God for, you know, some of the things that we talked about, and it is real talk and real issues that people face on a daily basis, so I'm just grateful for it. All right.
And then we will be discussing relationship traps, opposites attract. And is it really love or just infatuation?
That's right. So for the next 3 weeks, we have an awesome lineup for you. Make sure that you're staying tuned in. And listen, for those of you who are coming on Blog Talk Online, if you would follow the community, it's going to help us. It's going to boost us. We have had over 4,000 listens. So people have listened to our broadcast through replays and also through tuning in. So this has been an awesome, awesome blessing to have so many people calling in around the globe and being able to talk on this awesome show. And so we thank God for everything that he's done so far and the things that he's going to do in the weeks to come. And we do plan to have some actual hosts and guest hosts to come on with us. Some people to come on the show and actually be here with me. So we're planning to actually call some people in to talk about some topics, and I'm lining up some people as we speak so that we can have different people coming on and have dialogue going on with them. So we're excited about that. It's coming in the next few weeks after our relationship series. But for the whole month of March, we're going to continue on in our relationship series. And then after this, we're going to move on to whatever else the Lord leads us. Are we going to stay here if we need to stay here? But it's been a blessing. We've been seeing a lot of people say that their relationships have been healed, they've been revitalized, and it's been a blessing to them. So we're just excited about that. Amen. And so right now, do we have any other callers in queue or anything before we close out tonight? All right, well, since we have no other callers in queue and we're ready to close out, I'm going to pray us out and then I'm going to dismiss us tonight. Father, we thank you now, God, that you would begin, oh, Father God, to repair marriages, oh, Father God, relationships, oh, Father God, across the globe. Father, we thank you for this awesome time together. We thank you, Father God, for individuals committing themselves, their lives, and their hearts to love. And, Father, we thank you, Father God, for the institution of marriage. We thank you, Father God, that you would bring these marriages back to the honeymoon state and that you would build the people up, that they would be able to focus on their relationship and that they would not fall into the pits and traps that the enemy will try to set for them. And Father, we thank you tonight. We are blessed to be here tonight. And Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise for everything that you're about to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. Well, this is Prophet Evelyn Derry, your host of Kingdom Connection Live. It's been awesome tonight. We've had a marvelous time. And don't forget to tune in next week as we continue on with the Reflections of Love. God bless you and have an awesome night.